when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, welcome to episode 32 of Prepping 2.0. Our main topic is going to be bugging out 101, sort of an overview of it. We're going to touch on the HAM test, how easy it is, and this killer study aid that makes it super doable to do. We're also going to play Live or Die, where we put a picture up for Patreon folks and Facebook folks and say, hey, this person, what do you think? Going to live or die? It's a fun game. And we're also going to take Patreon questions at the end in the after show. I would like to introduce my amazing co-host, wife, and prepping, you know, team member, and that is Shelby Gallagher. Shelby, say hello to the folks.
Hello, Glenn. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. We're on take number 7 or 10 or whatever, doing this first segment because...
We're a little edgy right now.
Why are we edgy, Shelby?
Because this is seriously like our 6th or 7th take.
And that kind of gets people angry.
And I'm really ticked off. We have some great outtakes as a result.
Yeah. Oh, listen to the end of the show. Patreons, at the end of the show, you'll hear that.
Oh, my goodness.
So okay, so you're a little upset. I mean, and you're handling it well with grace. You're
on
laughing.
A computer in my lap. It may not be for long, but there you go.
Yeah.
You're sicker than a dog these days.
I am sicker than a dog, I'm jacked up on cold medicine. The show must go on. So the show's going on.
And we have plans today that are like imminent.
I know. And we have a lot to do today. So we're kind of under the gun. But we do some of our best pressure. Some of our best work under pressure. Mangling a sentence.
What could go wrong?
I'm
jacked up on anger and frustration. You're jacked up on cold medicine. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be a wild ride. Shelby, I hope the answer to this question is no. Have you ever been riding in a car with a driver who's drunk?
No.
Okay, I have a bunch of times. And so, don't recommend it.
What could go wrong?
And it's a wild ride. The whole time you're like, I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Am I going to live or die?
Am I going to live or die? Well, that's what today's show is going to be, a wild, wild ride, because we're all jacked up on anger and cold medicine. Why don't you tell folks about the top 100 list and which one is up this week?
And this is why we use an outline, so that we can keep ourselves centered and find our peace and make sure the mute button isn't on. Just checking with you and checking mine for that matter. Number 22, I encourage you to go to our website, prepping2-0.com. On the lower right is the top 100 things that will disappear in a collapse based upon the Bosnian experience. I like that. We can glean knowledge from that because it was a modern culture that collapsed dismally and tragically. Number 22, vitamins. And that's all it says there, vitamins. But there's so much more to that. And I want to talk about a little bit of an experience I had several years ago. Church I was going to, there's a mission that was focused on a very simple tribe in Central America. And about once or twice a year, this mission, they would send representatives and ask us for medical supplies. Very large tribe. Bandages, antibacterial cream, all those sorts of things that they needed. And these were life-saving sort of things to these people. And they would ask for vitamins. And the caveat that they would say with the vitamins is, we need vitamins, but no gummies and no soft gels, because they deteriorate. And they don't just deteriorate, like lose their potency. They deteriorate, melt in the warm climate.
Are you serious? I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I did not know this. I thought I knew like a lot of stuff. I didn't know that gummies and capsule things melt.
Yeah.
And they're no good for long-term
storage. Yeah, they're no good. And they want them to last for a long time for sure. And so here, so that's the first piece of information. The second piece of information is, oh, easy. The next time I go to the store, I'll just pick some up. I go to Costco. You know, I'm going to buy a big old 500 tablet. You know how hard it is to find non-gummy, non-capsule multivitamins, especially for kids?
Wow, I never really thought about this. I know Costco and some parts of the country will have Sam's Club, same thing. There's the 300-pack of multivitamins for like $11.
Right.
I mean, absurdly cheap. By the way, I always keep my receipts. This is in my book, 299 Days. I always keep the receipts of stuff like that in the tubs, because when stuff's broken down and vitamins are incredibly valuable and
$10 a tablet.
Yeah, and needed. I just think it'll be fun to pull out the receipt and go, huh, looks like it was about 6 or 8 cents a tablet. Anyway, keep going with the vitamins.
So,
this is good stuff.
So I encourage you for long-term storage. Yes, the vitamins, we know this, will lose a certain percentage of its potency. But what I don't want it to do is open it. You know, you store a bunch of gummies and then you have a big blob of
gummy pudding.
Yeah,
vitamin
gummy,
pudding.
Exactly.
Not good.
So long-term storage, don't use capsules, don't use gummies, but just know it's going to be difficult to find the tablets based on a true experience. So something to think about as we prep. Tablets, not gooey things.
And I think that's great. The tablets are out there, though. I was mentioning
yes.
Costco and Sam's, and we in our own preps, we've taken several 300-pack bottles, and you just vacuum seal them. And yes, vitamins lose some of their potency over time. This is true. And then we're talking hard tablets now. We're talking the ones to get. But they don't go down to zero potency-wise, and they never become poisonous. So it's okay to have some older ones. I remember that in I was reading about the Vietnam War, and the North Vietnamese Army regulars, it was this thing about what was in their backpacks. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, and there was stuff in their backpacks. One of the things in their backpacks was a vitamin pack, because when you're, you know, not eating regularly and you're under stress, you need vitamins. And it was really interesting that the backpacks the NVA Army had were so Spartan and just absolutely bare bones. I took note of the fact that, yes, they were bare bones, and they had vitamins, because that's how important vitamins are. Not only are they important for you and your team and your family, they're going to be great bartering items. Always think of barter. Always, always, always. And always think of what we call on the team village stability operations, which is actually a special forces term. Guess where I got that term from? Huh, special forces, Ted. And it's a thing where you help out the local community and you provide stuff for them, and they are your allies, and they will fight for you. Because if you're an unprepared person and your child is really, really sick, and you show up with some vitamins that, by the way, cost you, you know, 6 cents a piece, I'm making that up, but they cost you nothing, so it's not a big ask, right? You show up with some vitamins, and those folks will be your friends and allies for the rest of your life. And they'll tell you when bad guys are coming, and the political, you know, the good kind of politics, taking care of people politics, is huge with vitamins. So you can't go wrong, and they're cheap now, like so many other things. Get vitamins. I would add to the vitamins list micronutrient tablets. I use some from GNC. They're nothing special. Ultra Green, I think, is what they're called. And it's like all these little trace things. It's like the essence of chickpeas. It's the essence, and there's like 150 things, like artichokes, and I'm trying to think, like beets and other things that it'd be great if you just grew those in your garden and you ate them. That would be ideal.
Well, you'd be eating for the rest of the collapse.
Exactly. So, and these micronutrients, it's sort of bigger than vitamins, because they're not just vitamins, they're micronutrients. And they're cheap too. I think it's $15 for like 100 tablets. You know, go get you some and just vacuum seal it and you're good. So I think we've covered the vitamins thing. Why don't you tell folks about the next thing?
Right. The next thing is the I Miss America moment of the week. And if you listened to last week's episode, you know that I kind of just put an introduction out there. We talked a little bit about how at that point, there were 10 states that were actively working towards not allowing our current president, President Trump, to be on the 2020 ballot for their state. And Illinois last week was the one that we mentioned. And I said very specifically, the last time this happened was the Civil War, when President Lincoln, or President-elect Lincoln, he was a candidate at the time, was not allowed to be on several states' ballots, and he was elected president anyway. And what happened next after that was our first Civil War. And I said, I really want to bring this back again this week, because you weren't able to join us, and I want to hear your thoughts on that, because you have quite some good opinions on this, and I think it's be good if we flesh them out a little bit.
You bet. And the only time we talk about politics on this show is always within the context, always pointing towards, here is a potential threat for you to prepare for. This isn't, you know, like the Fox News political debate hour, because we don't care about who's up in the polls.
If you want that, there's way other much more interesting people to listen to than us.
Exactly. And so it's not about the politics. It's about the coming threat. And what happened specifically in Illinois was, off the top of my head, the 10th state, could be wrong. A bunch of states have passed statutes saying that unless you provide your income tax returns to the public, you can't be on the presidential ballot. Well, we all know President Trump has said he will not turn over his tax records. There are people in the Treasury Department that keep leaking them to the New York Times, by the way, major, giant, like 20-year felony, and people keep doing it. That's how divided the country is. And so I just noted that the last time, and you just touched on it, the last time that, in this case, 10 states back in this era, they would not let a presidential candidate on the ballot was 1860. And we all know what sparked off in 1861, and that was the first Civil War. So, folks, if you're thinking, oh, golly, there's no way, civil war, civil conflict, organized political violence, whatever term you want to use, oh, there's no way that could happen, because that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Yes, it does. And one of the precursors to it, based on American history, so we're not talking like what happened in Bosnia here, we're talking about America. One of the precursors to it is a whole bunch of states not letting the guy they don't like on the presidential ballot. And the reason this is an I Miss America moment is, if you would have said even a couple years ago, a bunch of states are going to try to prevent a sitting president from being reelected by not putting him or her on the ballot, I would have said, oh, that's crazy talk. Here's the point, folks. These are not normal political times. You need to take this information, you need to factor it in, and you need to say, geez, stuff could really fall apart in 2020 or 2021. Here's the scenario. Actually, I'm going to move. I'm going to talk about the scenario next. Another thing that fits in this, another I Miss America moment.
Good dovetail on this. Exactly.
Yes, is this compact, which is just an agreement that a bunch of states are making, to abandon the Electoral College and say that the winner of the popular vote is the one who's going to get their electoral votes, which means they're getting rid of the Electoral College. The Electoral College protects rural America from becoming, you know, serfs or slaves, really, to the cities. The cities have all the votes. There are 18 counties in this country, like Los Angeles County and Cook County, Illinois, which is where Chicago is, that have enough votes in them to decide who the president's going to be if you go by popular vote. So the founders of this country wisely, like everything they did was wise, they wisely put in there the Electoral College. Everybody knows about that. Well, Nevada became the 15th state last week to adopt this, and it gets to a tipping point. If you get to 270 electoral votes, you become the president. Well, if the states that, you know, comprise, thank you, Shelby.
You're welcome.
You're like an author and stuff. You're good at words.
I'm good at words. I'm good at writing.
If states comprising 270 electoral votes adopt this compact, and they're only 75 electoral votes away from that, then we get rid of the Electoral College. Parentheses, the U.S. Supreme Court will knock this down. We can't keep counting on the U.S. Supreme Court doing the right thing, because that's really risky. But anyway, so I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's back to the point of how divided we are, and how... Here's how a civil war starts, because of this goofiness that these 15 states have done. Let's look at 2016. Trump wins the electoral votes, and the Democrat, who in 2020 I believe will be Kamala Harris, but anyway, the Democrat wins the popular vote. And let's say this Nevada thing and 15 other states is in play, and Kamala Harris or the Democrat says, okay, I'm the president, and Trump says, actually, I'm the president. You've got two people that claim to be the president of the United States. You've got both of them saying that other one is illegitimate. You know what that is? That's a civil war. This is how civil wars start. Look at history. Oh, there's a contested question about, you know, who's the president. What's an example of that modern day?
Great example of it right now, Venezuela. There are two people claiming to be the president, one by a popular vote and one by a kind of a jacked up crazy socialist kind of vote. Seriously, that's how it happens. And that's what will happen in 2020 if we're not careful and not paying attention. People need to vote. You just need to get out and vote. I get that. But we will have a president elected by the Electoral College, and we will have one elected by the popular vote, and we'll have two people that will be claiming presidency, and world powers will become involved, and it will be ugly, and it will be a collapse.
And this is why we always take everything back to, this is a threat, this is something to prepare for, this is an event that could trigger the collapse, and this is why it's important.
And this one will be violent. That one will be. Well, and let me just back up here. Let's go back to 2016 when President Trump was elected. What was the whole message of the left? Not our president, resist, resist. They were fighting against that. I think that it will just be 20 times worse than that if we end up with this weird sort of, first of all, President Trump not being on the ballot. And think about what that does. And I mentioned this last week. When you don't put someone on the ballot, and not what you're also not doing is you're not allowing the people to vote. You are suppressing their ability to vote for someone they may want. So what happens is the write-in campaign will be immense in those states. Let's just put it that way. But that's knowing that that is what the population wants, and to not allow people to have that as an option it's a smack in the face of the regular population. That's angering to me.
And here's specifically, great point, here's specifically how that kind of nonsense, keeping people off the ballot, again, Supreme Court presumably knocks that down, but let's say they don't. And ask Special Forces Ted this, because he talked about this, and I've talked to him about this too. Green Berets specialize in you know, collapsing countries and either helping them collapse or, if they're collapsing, helping good guys win. One of the main things that motivates people to go and do lots of ugly things in a civil war is they conclude voting doesn't work anymore. When voting doesn't work anymore, you know, like you want to vote for Trump and you live in the state of Illinois and you can't because he's not on the ballot. By the way, write-ins never work. I know what you're saying, but I mean, it's not a practical solution.
But that's your only option at that point, right?
When people say, it looks like voting doesn't work, that's when people's mind go to the next step, which is, well, it's time to take care of things in a more kinetic, physical sense. And that's why this could turn into an event you need to prep for. Well, we have this I Miss America moment because I Miss America is such a powerful thought. We have a bunch of stuff in our merchandise shack, the merch shack, that relates to IMA and I Miss America. So I ask the rhetorical question, what's in the merch shack?
Great question. I love talking about this. We have new stickers. They are up and going. So how you get to the merch shack, you can go to Glenn's page, 299days.com, or my page, agreatstate.com, and both of them have a shopping tab that takes you to the same place. And we have what we call Patsy stickers. Patsy stands for, I love this, patiently awaiting the collapse. And what that is, it's not a big bumper sticker. It's an oval sticker you can put it on your car. You can put it on, I have a really nice little travel mug here, that sort of thing. That's a thing these days.
Put stickers on gun safes. Yeah.
Patiently awaiting the collapse. But seriously, like, I have teenagers. Stickers, I mean, like plastering your travel, your water bottle, whatever. It's a thing. So patiently waiting the collapse. They're going to be available. They're on order. They're hopefully on their way, and we'll be getting them out to folks. But that's just a fun one. So patiently awaiting the collapse.
Because that sums up how we feel. We miss America. Now we're patiently awaiting the collapse.
Waiting for 2020 as we have two presidential winners. Yeah, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, that's right. Well, hey, we would like to switch gears a little bit to a very traditional prepping topic, and that is amateur radio. Amateur radio is often called ham radio. It's like they added an H to the AM. I feel like I'm a Beastie Boy now. H to the AM, got the ham. Anyway.
Everybody under 30 just went, Who's the Beastie Boys?
I know. I often called myself the fourth Beastie Boy because I felt like I was good enough to be a Beastie Boy as far as my rapping skills go. But I'm getting off topic. It's the cold medicine talking. Stop talking cold medicine and talk about ham radio.
Okay, so
tell us, Shelby, about this.
We may have to split this up. We have a break coming up here in a few moments. So I have taken several every now and then in seasons of my life, I've gone, I need to get my ham test. And it probably goes back 3 or 4 years. I need to get my ham test. And people are like, oh, yeah, there's apps out there. Just, you can go out there. And I understand that for those of you who are new to this whole idea of ham, what it is, to get your ham license, you have to take this test. Think of it as your driver's test on steroids.
Good analogy.
And it's 30 questions. And you have to know, and it's technical. It's technical radio kind of stuff. And that's right there usually where most people stop. They're like, no, I don't know what ohms are, and I don't know what a receiver, what the heck is a transceiver? You know, it's, you're done. I get that. But here's what, if you dig a little bit more, people say, you can just memorize the questions. And once you memorize the questions that they're going to ask, and that didn't dawn on me what they were talking about, because here's the analogy. How many times have you taken a test in your life, or if you have kids like me in high school and that sort of thing, they're taking tests and there's all this security around the test. Don't bring your phone in so you don't take pictures and share them on the internet. Don't want to have test questions leak out in any way. The ham test is different. It is the one test.
It's designed to be kind of cheated.
It's designed to cheat. They want you to cheat. What it is, there's a pool of 400 questions.
200, if sorry to correct you. 200 questions.
Oh, is there? I thought it was 400. 200 questions. Now, let me step back a little bit. There's two. I'm talking about the technician's test.
Yes, there's 200 for the entry-level technician's test. The next level is the general test. That is also 200 questions.
And both tests require you to take a 30-question test. So,
yes,
what it is you go memorize all the questions. And that alone, you may be going, I want to memorize 200 questions.
It's, oh, forget the questions. You memorize the
answers
to the questions.
Well, you memorize. Right. So, here's the thing. What is the one test in this life that you've lived where you can just go memorize the questions and answers and walk in and you take the test and you ace it? Never. You can do that right now. That's how easy it is to take. So now that
you don't even need Lori Loughlin to bribe somebody,
no,
so your kids can get a ham radio license. No.
I don't
Huffman.
Want Lori Loughlin to do it because she'll mess it up. Just go do it. Once I knew that, okay, now go finding an app or something that I can do that. There's not a lot of really user-friendly apps out there. Well, we found one. We're going to talk about that. And you recently, we both took it at the same time. You already had your technician's license. You took your general, and you passed 31, 32 out of...
It was crazy because
35 questions on the test.
35 questions. It was crazy because I'm taking this test and there are all these questions that I had seen a billion times before and I knew all the answers. I whizzed right through it and it was like cheating.
It was weird. It's weird. Like, these are actual questions that I just memorized.
It works really, really well.
So we're going to kind of just stop for a moment because we want to talk a little bit more about this. So just to say this, you took and passed your general.
Yes.
I took and passed my technician. Here's the one thing, and I have about 30 seconds here. The technician's test is, the pool of questions are out there, and they're going to be out there for a few more years through the FCC. The general test questions are going to change here at the end of June.
Actually, both sets of test questions will change at the end of June. So what you should probably do is study for, by the time you hear this, it'll be late May, start studying for the July 1st, 2019
yeah,
and onward test. Don't bother studying now for these questions and then they're all going to change because your whole cheating effect goes down.
Exactly.
Well, let's finish up this great topic and we'll come back and we're going to talk about ham radio tests and then the main thing, bugging out 101.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet. .com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Hi, everyone. Glenn Tate here.
and Shelby Gallagher here. People always ask us whether a particular property would be good for prepping.
Well, luckily there's someone who does this for a living, and that's Brian at Strategic Landscape Design. He's a bug out location consultant for a new property or the one you already have.
Strategic Landscape Design shows you how to make your property productive for you now and when the collapse comes. Visit strategiclandscapedesign.com and see all the things Brian can do for you and your property. That's strategiclandscapedesign.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. Shelby Gallagher here with my co-host, who is a little sick on many different levels.
Wow.
We have to be funny today because we're both a little frustrated. He's literally sick. He's got a nasty head, chest cold, and he's jacked up on about 5 different medications. And
That's how I roll. I don't goof around.
No.
I don't goof around.
And I'm jacked up on adrenaline from just trying to get this radio show recorded today.
Raw anger is what she's jacked up on.
Oh, man. It's awesome. It's coursing through my veins. Anyway, I just want to welcome back from the break. And we had ended on the HAM test. And I want to just make a quick clarification. I looked it up during the break. The HAM test for the technician's license, the pool of questions out there, is valid through 2022. So you could actually study now, and you don't have this hard July 1st deadline. The general is switching over. The general,
which is the mid-level.
The
one.
Mid-level.
The technician, the entry-level that most folks listening probably need to take.
Yes.
Is good until 2022.
So,
get on it, ladies and gentlemen.
What's really cool, I just took my technician's license passed, and I looked around and I did a quick little Google search, and there's going to be several more opportunities for me to take the test in the next, before July 1st, and I'm going to get my general pretty quick.
Go ahead.
And the reason why, it's funny, we joke about this, twins in, we're just having the same thought just now, I can tell. The reason why is because it's so easy to study for it. So this is where I wanted to go with this. Here's how you study for it. Let's talk about that. And give us about 5 minutes here to talk about it, because we want to talk about some other things too.
Yes. The thing is, there's one app out there that just blows doors on all the other ones. It's just wildly superior to every other one. Go ahead, get ready to take this down, folks.
And we're not getting any
we make nothing from this.
We're saying this because we went through about 10 apps
exactly.
Before we found the one that worked for both of us.
Okay, hamstudy.org. Ham study, like ham, like delicious pork product. Hamstudy.org. Here's what's cool. They give you all the questions, and they show you the answers, and Shelby covered that. There's 200 of them. And then you take these tests, and it tells you if you got it right or wrong. You can hit I don't know, and then it'll highlight the correct one, so you don't have to. See, when I get the wrong answer and then the right one, I get confused which is right and which is wrong. So they've solved that. And then they load up the random questions they send you, and this is all on a phone or a tablet, super easy. You can do this, you know, you're taking a little potty break, take a couple minutes, study for your HAM test. It is that easy. By the way, as I told the team in a group text, when I told them that you and I had passed our HAM test, I said, what's it like to be beaten by a girl and a lawyer? Go ahead, feel the shame. This is easy to do. You don't have to be a special operations guy to do this. And so it's incredibly easy with hamstudy.org. Anyone can do this. Please go and do it. Now here's the part that matters. Why do you need a ham license? Is it to be like a radio geek? Is it to have a new hobby that's really expensive and time consuming? No to all three of those. And the reason you need it is to operate real radios, other than, you know, the walkie-talkies that, you know, you get at Walmart in the blister pack that you take to Disneyland, so you can say, hey, I'm over by the Nemo thing. Okay, let's go get a corn dog. Okay, that's great for being at Disneyland, but the collapse is not going to be Disneyland. And so you need a ham radio license now, before the collapse, to learn this stuff, get familiar with it, and just try it out. And so that's what you need it for now. Everyone says, when the collapse hits, the FCC is not going to be around to enforce these laws. That is correct. Here's the thing. You got to take it out of the box, your radio. You got to hook it up. You got to try it. You got to listen around to your local area and figure out who's on radios. That's kind of a key strategic intelligence thing to know. You need to know how a repeater works, and it's easy, and a bunch of stuff. You need to be familiarized with it. So don't be a lazy prepper. Listen, if you're a prepper 2.0, you've gone past the phase of, oh, I'll go on Amazon, I'll order something, it'll stay in a box, I won't even charge the battery, I won't even see if this thing works, and I'll just be good. That's prepping 1.0. Okay, it's good to have the stuff, granted. What you need to do is take it out of the box and try it.
Yeah.
And to do that, you need a ham radio license. And if you get a general license, like I have, you can use the high frequency stuff where you can talk among states, among countries. That's where it's at. That's the ultimate goal. There are Patriot radio networks, ham radio networks, Amron, A-M-R-R-O-N. Amron is amazing. Look it up.
And they've done some life-saving work.
It's
in pristine conditions now.
Exactly,
yes.
In floods and hurricanes and stuff. That's what you need to stay informed, because as John Jacob Schmidt, who runs Amron, is a great patriot, as he said to me, listen, if you don't have your high-frequency radio comms up, in the event of a disaster, you're just a guy I used to know.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with me.
That resonates with a lot of people. So let me go back, jumping back, because I don't want to spend too much time. What is this app like? First, so I'm going to crash course study for my general and take it before the pool of questions changes on July 1st. First thing you do, if you go into it and you just read through the questions, and I'll tell you the answers. And then you go into study mode, where it just gives you the questions and you choose the right or wrong one, or the I don't know, and it will tell you, you got it right or wrong. You got it right or wrong. If you do it on a tablet over on the corner on the side, it'll tell you your aptitude. What you basically, right now you're at about a D level. You're getting about 50% right, 60% right. And then, so when you get one wrong, it'll then put that back in the pool and ask you again in about 4 or 5 questions.
Until you get it right.
Until you get it right.
And you got to get it right twice for it to move on,
right,
which is awesome.
So what you'll do is you'll sit there and get the same question. And I was doing it with my son for a while, and he's like, oh, no, you just have this one. This was it. And so he was getting into kind of this repetitive memorizing mode. And then it has actual tests. They're going to give you a pool of 30, 35, and you get to take it, and you get to see what your score is. So we studied during our lunch breaks or whatever, and during, like, just break time during our day. I would bring my tablet to my work and do that during my lunch hour. And then the day of the test, we spent the morning of going through just practice exams and making sure we were over the 70% every time, and we were. So once you get your aptitude up and your quizzes are high, do it. Go take it. And you just kind of go into the test and you brain dump.
Exactly. And by the way, you forget everything you just learned the moment you walk out of the test, and that's okay.
That's okay.
And
you got your ham license. That's
so
all
I think
that matters.
We've pretty well covered
Please do it. It's super easy.
And how easy it is. We're breaking down barriers, right? To be a prepper at that second level, to be a prepper 2.0, you just got to have your ham license.
And then you got the license. And then I will say this, and we'll talk about this much more in depth later on. Amron is doing this really cool thing, and they're developing it right now. Amron University, where it's like, now I've got my license. Now what do I do with it? Because you, like what we just said, you have the license, but you don't know what to do with it because you studied these random questions that you don't know what they mean. And they're going to have this whole cool little course on what do you do with it now. So we'll talk about that more when that's more in development. But go check out Amron. They're working on that right now.
Yep, amron.com. Well, let's get to the big topic, if
yes,
you will, of the episode, bugging out 101. As you can tell from the 101 thing, this is kind of an overview, but it's good. And one of the things we do on this show that I think is pretty popular is we bring up stuff that get people thinking. We don't have all the answers. I mean, we could do 40 hours of like every conceivable bug out thing, and people don't have 40 hours. We get people thinking, and then they apply it to their own situation.
Right, and that's the thing, is that every situation is different. How we bug out here where we live is going to be very different than how somebody in, I don't know, Arizona, North Dakota,
Chicago,
Florida, yeah, it's going to bug out. And it depends on where you live, city or country. So this is definitely an overview, but it's good to think about. Yes.
And so we have 4 pieces to this: stay or go, bugging out on foot, bugging out on vehicle, and bugging out by boat. So the key question is the threshold question.
Yes.
Is always, should I stay or should I go? And boy, oh howdy, does that depend on your situation. Let's take our situation for one. Extremely rural place, pretty well set up. I'm putting that mildly. I mean, it's pretty well set up. A network of people around us that are very, very good. It would take a lot more of a threat to us to get us to bug out. Now, part of that is, if you're even thinking about going somewhere, you need to have a place to go. You need to think about that now. You've often talked about negotiating with friends or relatives or something. That is really what happened a lot. That's a lot of book one of A Great State that you wrote, which is the main character, Julie, and her dad, Floyd, you know, talking about, hey, here's where you need to go, to the cabin in Colorado. Here's what you need to bring. All that kind of stuff. So you got to have a plan of a place to go.
And prepping that location.
Exactly. I think that if you just say, I'm just going to get on the highway and go to a national park and camp out for a while, that's better probably than staying in a terrible place like Chicago. But it's not good. So the go part of stay or go requires some planning, and maybe just thought is all it requires. You don't have to have like a detailed 114-point plan, but you need to think about where to go. And there's some – oh, go ahead. Yes.
Well, and so where you live, like right, like what you were just saying, we live in a very rural environment. What would cause us to go? A forest fire?
Yes.
Potentially, it could be weather-related. We live in Western Washington, so there's the earthquake thing. That's where people get really afraid because we may not be able to go. There's forest fires. There's natural disaster. Both of us used to live in high-density cities. The disaster that will hit there, honestly, is riots and political unrest and political violence. And we talked about this in one of our very early episodes. I don't remember which one. Go back and look on our website. We talk about the Ferguson riots and how people sat in their homes watching riots in front of them, asking themselves, should I stay or should I go? Honestly, I'd be going. Not going to lie. And I think about those stories that you've heard that have come out of war situations. I think when I was younger, I did a lot of, I was really intrigued by the Second World War and how people would just start walking because of war. They would just start walking out of the cities and just, you would see people just walking on roads, trying to escape Nazi Germany, trying to escape. Think of the Von Trapps from The Sound of Music. They hiked a major elevation sort of mountains and they bugging out. These are all situations where they've bugged out. So I think it depends on where you live, whether it's urban or city, ask yourself, what is most likely going to happen where I'm at? And then plan accordingly from that. I will say this, one of the things that I thought was so intriguing, the Paradise fires that happened in Paradise, California last summer. I remember reading an interview with a woman saying, I really thought we would be the bug out location. I didn't realize we would be homeless because everything burned there. So I think in all of that, we also need to say to ourselves, there could be, you can plan as much as you can and prep as, but there could be that just disaster that just, you don't even know what to do.
And one of the absolutely critical things about bugging out is having a head start. And this is going to vary depending on the collapse scenario. Obviously with an earthquake, you have no head start. Yeah. With a wildfire, maybe you do. With rioting and stuff like that, you do. You have a couple hours. And this is where you have to be vigilant. And this gets into the thing we've talked about in other shows that, quite honestly, other prepping podcasts and radio shows never talk about, and they ought to. And that is the fear of overreacting. When you see stuff breaking down, you need to have the mental resolve. You need to have the strength to say, I don't care if people think I, quote, overreacted, and they snicker at me if it turns out to be nothing. You get on the road. We'll talk about roads
that in a
more
moment.
In a moment. And you get on the road and you go. And so you got to have the intelligence, and by that I mean the information, not the cognizant reasoning power. I am really messed up on cold medicine.
And don't do this when you're
high on cold medicine. When you're high on cold medicine. Please don't make important decisions. And so I think I'm going to write a will right now. No, I'm just kidding. That's a terrible idea. No, but I gave all my money to
let's
Joe Biden.
Let's go learn how to fly a small craft.
Yeah,
right
let's
now.
Operate heavy Jeez. Machinery right now. No, but back to seriousness, having an hour of advanced knowledge is critical. A couple things on that. Consider Alerts USA, which is a service you pay for. And that is, and you get texts, and you know, Secret Service and CNN and stuff are clients of Alerts USA. I mean, this is, we will get texts often you know, an hour or 2 hours before stuff is on the news. You can't go wrong. So anyway, think about the early warning stuff. And this all gets to the going part. Well, there's another half to this, and that is staying. I hit the cough button there.
Cough.
Because I was coughing.
Cough mute.
Because I'm sick. And the more I talk, the sicker I get. But that's okay. I'm doing it. The show must go on. Show must go on, everybody.
Being strong.
So the staying part, and I have to admit, I have always been in the camp of like going. It's always about bugging out. It's always about leaving. Well, sometimes staying is actually a better idea. It's going to depend on stuff. There's a really good YouTube video by Nut and Fancy, NutnFancy, Nut and Fancy, and it's something like bug in or bug out, or you know. And he makes a pretty strong point that for quite a few scenarios, not all, but quite a few scenarios, maybe bugging in where your stuff is and where your network is maybe a better option. And one of the things that I think leads him to this conclusion, this highlights the fact that everybody's situation is different. He lives in Utah, and he's a member of the LDS Church, and a bunch of his neighbors are totally set up. It's a great place to bug in. Contrast that with living in Chicago. You know what I mean? So that's why I say the bugging in is viable depending on your situation. Yep. And he articulates some things that, candidly, I never really thought about as far as bugging in goes. So don't, and I know this is confusing and contradictory, don't just assume bugging out's the only thing. It's contradictory because I just said, at a moment's notice, just get in the car and go. Yeah, those two things are a little contradictory, but hey, you're all grown-ups, you're all big kids, and the fact that you're thinking about this now before stuff happens means you've got a leg up on 97% of the population. The main thing is, by starting early, you go out when the highways are not clogged.
And that's where I want to go next. How do you get out? We know, we see this every year. You can see it when the hurricanes are coming to the southeast. I love the National Weather Service for, all right, they can predict landfall, I don't know, in 24 hours. When that 24 hours, all of a sudden, all the highways in the southeast, wherever it is, Florida, the Carolinas, whatever, clog. And people end up sitting in cars for hours, gas stations go empty, and suddenly that's a crisis in and of itself. I want to encourage people, know your roads, know your highways. Yes, you need to know your highways. Those are going to be the very first thing that clog up. Now you need to know your secondary roads and all of your...
Tertiary, favorite word in the world.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a bad word, but it just means third.
It's third. And when at least those of us who live on the West Coast, that's things like logging roads. That's the dirt roads, the gravel roads, the back roads. Find some good getting out avenues that way. And I had somebody ask me recently what do you think about on foot? And I'm like, I'm for it. You need to figure it out though for where you live. You can hike out of Chicago. You're going to stand on a road and you're going to be walking down, you're going to look funny. You're going to be walking down a road with a backpack on your back. Do it if that's what saves your life. Because once you get out of Chicago, it gets really rural. Am I right? You know more than I.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Just like most places, you hike out of New York City, all of a sudden, wow, there's fields of green here. So find all of those avenues and be prepared for that, whether you're going to take a backpack, a go pack, or a car, if you're going to throw everything in the car and go. And I was really specific about this in book one, because I imagined bugging out of an urban location with a vehicle, but my character planned the fuel routes. She got out early before everyone realized what was going on, and she had planned out her location. There was a lot of things that this person did ahead of time, and I wanted it to be a demonstration of how it can be done. Kind of crazy, but you can do it. You don't have to have the perfect sewing kit, the perfect set of vitamins. She had her bug out stuff, and then she also had that we have 10 more minutes, empty the fridge, throw it in there and go sort of stuff. So
three thoughts on what you're talking about. Footwear.
Yes.
Trailers. and light backpacks.
Yeah.
Footwear, absolutely critical. Again, prepping 1.0 is going on at Amazon. Sorry, I'm so goofed up on cold medicine, you guys. It's hard. I know it's terrible listening right now. You go on Amazon and you buy those hiking boots that you're going to need. Good. It's good to have. You got to break them in.
Break them in.
You got to break them in. They have to be waterproofed. Again, it's a system. It's a footwear system. Have extra laces for them. Just last weekend, team training event, your awesome boots, which are broken in, by the way, some cats ate the, for
ate
real,
the shoelaces.
Ate the shoelaces.
They chewed up the shoelaces.
Luckily, you know, you're like, hey, do we have any paracord? And I'm like, oh, baby, we got paracord. We got
and
rolls
does
and
Shelby
rolls.
Like paracord?
Yes.
If you read my book, the first one. I like paracord.
And it worked out great. See, yeah. So you have a footwear system. Second thing is lightness. I know I switched the order around. Sorry, guys. I'm just blasting on DayQuil right now. Is the lightness. Everybody, you know, the bug out bag and it's like 45 or 50 pounds. Nope, nope, and nope. I mean, if you are a SEAL or a Delta guy and you can go 40, 50 miles with a 45-pound, 50-pound pack, good on you. Most people can't. One of the things I despise about the prepping community is this obsession with bug-out bags.
Yeah.
Yes, have one. Yes, test it out. There are a million videos and podcasts on what should be in it. Do whatever works for you. Consider weight and test it out. Go, let's say you live in Chicago. Get your bug-out bag together. Be realistic about weight and get your good footwear. And drive out to a state park somewhere out in the suburbs.
Go on a hike.
And go on a hike, and you'll realize that you need moleskin because your feet are going to get hot spots. That's covered amply in your books, especially book 3, which I've read and no one else has, and I feel really good about that. But it's coming out soon, by the way. And so test these things out. The third thing is trailers. This was a game changer for me because I never really thought about this until we moved out here in the country and we had some, you know, use for trailers that I'd never had to haul heavy stuff. They're great. Consider, if you live in the city, a U-Haul trailer. If you're one of the first people to bug out, go rent a U-Haul. They'll still be around. That you got to get pretty early on those. And you know what? Let's be candid. After a collapse, let's say it's a one-way rental and you've gone out to your bug out location, nobody's going to come looking for their U-Haul trailer. It was a one-way rental. You tried to return it, but there were mobs of people with torches and pitchforks and you couldn't go return
right.
it. So that's a thing. It's not real practical for most people in the city and the suburbs to have sort of a dedicated trailer. But if you can pull it off, you know, you got a garage to put it in, good. Really consider the amount of weight that a vehicle can pull.
Oh, man, we had a huge lesson in that.
We ended up buying, you know, a pretty beefy pickup to do just that because I didn't know about that. Tongue weight, go ahead and laugh, everybody. Tongue weight, but there's a tongue on a trailer.
There's a big deal about that.
There's a big deal. These are all things you do in advance to figure out how to move that trailer and be sure it's covered and nobody can see, you know, tubs and
your
tubs
goods.
And ammo cans and stuff like that.
So, and let me throw this out too, when it comes to towing stuff, and this is a whole nother show, but the question of can your vehicle tow it and should your vehicle tow it? Your vehicle might be able to tow something, but the wear and tear on the engine might make it so you shouldn't.
The weakest point in any vehicle is the transmission.
Yep. So
think
there
about
you go.
That.
So think about that. That's a whole nother show. But I wanted people to think about this, and I'm very proud of how I did this in my books, the whole how to bug out. Yes, and in book 3, there is a whole different aspect of, and it all comes from my experience as a backpacker, weight. Wear extra weight on your feet, heat. And blisters and moleskin, and can you do it? And yes, if you're going to do this, you need to plan that out very carefully and prepare your body for it. All of us need to be in prepper shape. We've talked about that, and it all goes together, especially if you're going to bug out on foot.
Two quick points on that.
Yeah.
Guys are enamored with the idea of what gun or guns they're going to take.
Yeah.
Guns are heavy. May I suggest, gentlemen in particular, because we seem to be the ones that obsess about this, get a .22 pistol and about 100 or 200 rounds. It's light. You're going to want to conceal a pistol. Do you really think you can walk out of Chicago with an AR-15 and not draw attention? Get a little teeny gun that is light and holds a little teeny bit of ammunition. The The second point is boats. We mentioned that. Well, we only got about 30 more seconds, and I can cover this topic in about 30 seconds. Number one, this topic only applies if you live around, as a practical matter, the oceans. You might live on the Mississippi River, and you might be able to go places on a river or across a lake. It's pretty rare. By the way, if you're doing the Mississippi River in a little boat, good luck with that. There's some pretty strong stuff. Yes, boats exist. Yes, they can be used. It's extremely specific, and you'll know instantly, listener, if that is an option for you. But it is indeed an option. So, Shelby, we're going to take it out with your quote that is so great.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a great week, everyone.
See you at the after show, Patreon supporters.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.
Was that the end?